Question from Ashish Kumar Puri to him. If a child is left alone to be brought up without being taught morality, given good samskaras, etc., an abandoned child, orphan, why is it that only the anarthas like lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, and illusion surface rather than good qualities? When he hasn't been invariably taught anything about the anarthas or good qualities, why do we have a propensity to abuse rather than use? Answer: there are two different issues over here, and one specific example and one general principle. So the specific example is hypothetical. It is impossible to have any child without any impressions at all. Generally, our behavior is determined by multiple factors. From the point of view of common sense psychology, which more or less agrees with the broad Vedic principles, our behavior is determined by our genes. And from the Vedic perspective, we understand that this is the genetic tendencies that are there within us. They are actually the swabhav that we have got as a result of our purva karma. So this is one determining factor. The other determining factors are our upbringing and our environment. So when a child is growing up in an orphanage, the child has some kind of upbringing and some kind of environment. And if that upbringing environment is not good, which often it is not, certainly the child doesn't get the kind of love which he or she would have got if he had loving parents to take care of him or her. So if the child is surrounded by unloving and indifferent authorities over there, and if there are some older children or some people who engage in wrong activities, so the upbringing, the kind of people who are the formative influence for the child, if they are having a negative influence, which is quite likely in such situations, then the person will grow up to behave negatively. And further, there is the environment. So the upbringing refers specifically to the individuals who cause a formative influence in our early years, when we are most impressionable. But environment refers to the general association that we have. A child goes to a school. So in the school, there will be, in general, more students who will be inclined towards acting according to their lower nature than the higher nature. And those influences will rub off on the child. So there is no such thing as no influence in the child. So there is some influence, and that influence shapes the behavior. So if the influence is negative, that will have a negative influence or a negative effect on the child. Now, regarding the general principle, why do we have an inclination towards abuse rather than use? It is not necessary that everyone has that. There are examples of people who are born in countries where eating non-vegetarian food is a norm, and still the person feels appalled by eating non-vegetarian food. The person says, "I will not eat it." Or there are examples of people who are born in families where the elders are doing illegal activities. They are criminals to some extent, and still the child says, "I don't want to live this kind of life." Now, no doubt these are exceptional, but they are possible. So ultimately, this depends on the kind of swabhav that the soul has got from the previous life. So if the soul has got a prabhav, a swabhav rather, so swabhava. Swabhava means one's innate nature. So this nature is impressed in our subtle body, which we carry from one gross body to another. So if the person has got a large influence of Rajoguna and Tamoguna, then naturally that will surface. But if the person has got a large influence of Sattvaguna, then that will not surface. The lower nature will not surface, rather the higher nature will surface. So we don't have to make absolute judgments that people have an innate tendency towards abuse. They can have a tendency towards being noble, charitable, gentle, sober, if the past life they have lived in Sattvaguna, and those caste impressions are carried in the subtle body to them. Of course, even if the past has been Sattvaguna, if the present upbringing and association is Rajo and Tamogunas, then that will also have a negative influence, and the past impressions may get completely obscured over. It will depend on which forces are stronger, the forces of the past impressions or the forces of the current influences. So sometimes people who are in bad environments also become bad, even if they were they had some good upbringing. On the other hand, if somebody had very bad birth but a person has very good upbringing, then the person may become good. So in the Bhagavatam, the example of King Vena is there. He was born from a very his upbringing was very good. Maharajanga offered him the best samskaras, the Brahminical culture was there around him. But the Bhagavatam describes that because of his Purvajanma samskara and the influence of that which he got through his mother at a genetic level, because his mother was having some adharmic influence in her ancestry, he got that influence. So in his case, he had a tendency towards evil. But we also have the example of Prahlad Maharaj, who was born in a demoniac family, and still he was extraordinarily devotionally minded. Now we may say Prahlad Maharaj was sent by the Lord to be his associate. That is fine. But then there are other examples also. There is the example of Vibhishana, who was born in a demoniac family, but still he was exceptionally devoted. So the point here is that we need to understand what are the broad factors that influence a person's behavior. So they are the past karma, which determines our swabhav, which roughly in modern parlance we can call as genetics. The science doesn't know why certain people's genes are the particular way. They don't know why a particular person has a short-tempered nature. They don't know why a particular person has the genes to which they attribute the short-tempered nature. Why the genes are like that in that particular person? That is not very clearly understood. So we understand that genes could be a mechanism, the vehicle, the instrument through which the Purvajanma samskara and the resulting swabhav expresses itself. So these are the Purvajanma samskara, that swabhav possibly expressed through our genes, our present upbringing, and our association, our environment. These are the primary shaping factors for how we will act. And beyond that, of course, we have free will. All these factors only shape, they don't determine. And we do have free will, and we can go against all these factors, and we can act in ways that are not necessarily determined by our circumstances entirely. So, and we can empower our free will by God's grace. So the whole process of bhakti is meant to empower our free will by connecting it with God's grace. So these are the overall five factors that are there, and I have talked about this in my book on energy, and I explained how bhakti can enable us to empower our free will and transcend whatever past influences from the past lives, as well as upbringing and association that we might be having. Thank you.